Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Is it just me, or has TV gotten really complicated? I'm either endlessly searching for my favorite shows or subscribing to a dozen different streaming services to make sure I can watch everything I love. And I'm not even saving that much money compared to my old cable bill. Thankfully, Philo has changed all that for me. One service, all the stuff I need. Philo's got current seasons of the shows I can't miss live on networks like Paramount, A&E, MTV, Discovery, and TLC. Classics like The Office, Martin, and Friends that I never get sick of, and all of the incredible originals on AMC Plus, from Mad Men to Orphan Black. Don't forget their library of more than 75,000 movies and shows, all of which I can save and re-watch anytime for a whole year. Never miss a minute of shows like Gypsy Rose, Life After Lockup on Lifetime, Yellowstone, or Fatal Attraction. Best of all, with Philo, you get all this for just $28 a month. No contracts, no hassles. Just one subscription and a world of entertainment. So go to philo.tv and check it out for a free 7-day trial. That's philo.tv to start watching.
Blinds.com Cyber Monday sales event is happening now. Get some of the best deals of the season with up to 50% off site-wide, plus a free professional measure. Avoid the home renovation overwhelm. Swapping out old blinds for custom window coverings delivers big results, and Blinds.com makes it easy and affordable. Skip the long lines or waiting around at home all day just to get a quote. With Blinds.com, shopping online doesn't mean sacrificing quality, style, or service. A Blinds.com design expert can help you make the perfect selection. We can even handle everything from measure to install. Get your whole home installed for one low cost. With over 25 million windows covered, Blinds.com is the number one online retailer of custom window coverings. Shop Blinds.com Cyber Monday sales event today for some of the best deals of the season. Save up to 50% site-wide, plus premium doorbusters and a free professional measure. Up to 50% off at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Get Boston Sports Original on the go.
Wherever you go.
Just download the Odyssey app.
We're right back to it on WEEI.
I think the biggest thing is just be on the same page. I think these guys are, we're working hard during the week, and we're putting some good practices together. I think just got to translate to the field. I think it's different when those reps do count, and something we'll figure out. I think we've been good against the blitz, in my time since I kind of became the starter, so I don't think it's something that we're going to over-harp about. I think sometimes you catch them in some things and try to exploit their blitzes, and from there, just try to get the ball out, and I do a better job getting the ball out and getting it out faster.
What's popping? Shine back. Boston Sports Original WEEI. It is a wonderful, cold, sunny Saturday afternoon here in the city of Boston. I have officially returned from over the seas, across the pond, if you will. I had myself a lovely Thanksgiving over there instead of over here, as someone with family in literally everywhere on the Eastern Seaboard. It was just easier to not even try to come together for Thanksgiving and instead go celebrate it somewhere else with friends overseas. And it was quite a good time. I love it over there. It is tremendous. If you haven't been, I highly recommend it. But alas, there is sports to discuss. As the New England Patriots will take on the Indianapolis Colts tomorrow, Anthony Richardson, quarterback of the Indianapolis Colts, comes to town and faces off against Drake May. And I think for a lot of people, this is kind of a matchup of the projections, right? Like the two quarterbacks that, especially, people like myself, have said over the last two drafts now that these guys would be awesome. I think one of them has shown he clearly can be awesome, but maybe turns the ball over a little too much for some. And then there's another guy who has struggled a lot and at times really looked awesome, but for the most part has done nothing but struggle. And I think a lot of it, too, is in terms of process, right? Like, you look at the two teams, the New England Patriots were very patient with Drake May. They took their time. They weren't in a rush. They were like, oh, yeah, we got Jacoby Brissett. We'll trot him out for a few weeks and really make sure Drake May is ready for the NFL. The Indianapolis Colts wanted to start Anthony Richardson right away under a new head coach and Shane Steichen, who I kind of liked. I don't know if I still like. It's kind of a big question mark for me. But they wanted to start him right away, and he looked freaking awesome. For those first four games of his career, like, he was completing right around 60% of his passes. He threw three touchdowns, only threw one pick, but he ran in, I want to say it was like four touchdowns in his first four games, or I mean, he barely played the full four games, to be completely honest. But, yeah, he had four touchdowns in his first four games, almost 150 rushing yards. And so, again, Anthony Richardson was this athletic projection. At the draft, he blew you away. He was a specimen. Wiggy will tell you there's nothing better than watching men in tights run around and jump and be super athletic. And he's right. It's enticing, and it's exciting to watch. And Anthony Richardson was absolutely and is still a major projection. People thought he was, like, I looked at him and I was like, oh, this is a more athletic version of Cam Newton. Why wouldn't you want this? Cam Newton was awesome in his rookie year. He had a great career. Was it shorter than most? Yeah, of course. I mean, when you're taking that many hits, it's always going to be shorter. It's just kind of how it goes when you're a big-bodied person and you want to run physically and you want to run often. And so I looked at them in the same mold, right? Cam Newton, 6'5", 245 pounds. Anthony Richardson, 6'4", 245 pounds. However, Anthony Richardson ran like a 4.440. Absolutely flies. Like, the guy was just an athletic specimen. He set every quarterback record, basically, at the combine. And so you look at him, and it's like, oh, this is just a bigger version. It's just another version of Cam Newton. They're the same size. He's faster. He's more athletic. Let's do that. But instead, Anthony Richardson has come into the NFL, and I felt like tried to be, I don't know if it's being forced or he's trying to be something he's not. They're trying to have him throw from the pocket a lot. They try to keep him in the pocket and throw a lot. And his thing is, well, he's not that accurate. At the short passes, at the intermediate passes, the accuracy is leaves something to be desired. I mean, you look at that Detroit game last week, he completed 39% of his passes, 11 of 28. That's been like his big bugaboo in the NFL, is he's not accurate. And that's kind of a big deal when you play quarterback and you're not throwing the ball 40, 50 times in a game.
This is going to sound disrespectful, but okay, he's got a little Justin Fields to his game where every time that the Bears let Fields move out of the pocket and make a play, he looked semi-decent.
He looked unstoppable.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then when they forced him to sit back there and throw the ball, he just couldn't do it.
I totally agree. I think that was one of the things, like, during the draft process that was missed, right? Like, I looked at him, I'm like, oh, this is Cam Newton. He sits in the back. He sits in the pocket. He's going to throw an absolute laser anywhere on the field because he's insanely strong, insane arm strength. I mean, you saw it before the combine at, like, his workout day. He threw a ball like 80 yards and hits the roof of the building. Absolute missiles. And then would just run physically all around the field. However, there's far less designed runs for him, and I think a lot of that stems from the injuries he got early in those first four starts and then this season again. And so there was less of that, which kind of takes away from what makes him so special. And then you're forcing him to just sit in the pocket and throw the football, kind of like what you wanted Joe Flacco to do. But Flacco stunk, and Anthony Richardson, unfortunately, just isn't great from the pocket. But you're right. Like, I think Anthony Richardson is more like Justin Fields than he was Cam Newton coming out, in that when you put him on the run and you give him the option of running the football or throwing it deep, right, which he's insanely good at, he's really, really talented. But it's those other things, the smaller, more mechanical, more intricate features of playing quarterback that he just doesn't have. And I don't think, I don't know how quickly or if ever he'll get those. And then you look at a guy like Drake May. That was the big question mark with May coming out of the draft, was, oh, well, his footwork's not that good. Like, his movement in the pocket's not great. I feel like he makes some dumb mistakes. Like, he kind of lets balls sail a lot of the time and blah, 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 blah. And then you look at him as a pro. They were patient with him coming out of the gate. He didn't start right away. He comes in, and a lot of his interceptions aren't bad mistakes, right? Like, there was that first one, the very first game against the Texans. It was clearly first game NFL jitters, where he just lets the ball sail. It goes way over his receiver's head and right into the chest of the safety. Like, that just, It happened. The third pass of his career. And then since then, those interceptions, yeah, he has seven of them or six more since that one. But you look at him and you go, well, these aren't dumb mistakes a lot of the time, right? You look at that one, the end of the Titans game in overtime, everybody harps on that one because, you know, you have an opportunity to go win the football game. And it's tough. It's a throw he doesn't need to make. And that's kind of how I prefaced it a lot of the times. People criticize me all the time. They're like, Shime won't say anything bad about Drake May. Like, this guy, all he does is just praise Drake May. Can't do anything wrong. It's everybody else's fault. But in reality, like, I feel like I've been relatively critical when criticism is called for. And in that situation, it was, right? Like, that's a pass you don't need to make. As a rookie quarterback, you think in that situation, especially after how the game ended in regulation, where he felt like he did everything he could to drive down the field and then have that insane 12-second scramble around and then just kind of toss it to Ramondre Stevenson for the touchdown. He felt like, oh, I have to go win this, put it all on my back, let's go do this. And so in overtime, he tries to make a Superman play, and unfortunately, he's not quite Superman yet. He might be able to be Superman at some point, but in this situation, it's a mistake that he didn't need to make. I mean, you look at Josh Allen's career up to this point and how many times you could point your finger to instances where he did that exact same thing, where he was like, oh, I've taken over this game. I can go win this for us, and then makes a mistake just because it's like a heat check. It's like Jaylen Brown, what was that, a week or so ago, hits five straight threes to start the game. And it's like, I can just shoot from anywhere. Takes one, finally misses. It's like, oh, okay, maybe I can't. Maybe I need to, I was hot for a second, but now we need to kind of get back into the regular rhythm of things. We need to understand that, oh, okay, this is, I need to take this step by step and not just try and get it all in one play. And that's exactly what Drake May found right there. Unfortunately, the interception ends the game, so it's, you know, a lot worse of a heat check than you'd like, but at the same time, it was a heat check. He was so confident. He was crushing that Titans team there at the end of the game, and he felt like he could get it all. Unfortunately, due to the wind, under throwing it, granted, he threw it 60 yards on the fly. Like, it's just, Kayshon Booty didn't, as Andy Hart will tell you, didn't really fight for the ball as much as you may want him to. It ended poorly. And so you look at that, and there's been a lot of instances like that. It's just, a lot of them aren't stupid rookie mistakes. And that, to me, is what is far more encouraging about a quarterback like Drake May than a quarterback like Anthony Richardson, which is really kind of the thesis of what you're going to see on Sunday. It's two young quarterbacks still finding their way on teams that are totally unproven, with coaches that are entirely unproven. I think the Indianapolis Colts probably have the coaching advantage here. I don't love Steichen. I don't hate Steichen. I liked him a lot when he first started, but I'm kind of up in the air now. I don't really know what to make of him. I don't know if it's the quarterback. I don't know if it's the team. I don't really know what the deal is there in Indy. And then Jerod Mayo has shown you so frequently through 12 weeks of the season that this moment might be a little bit big for him. Like, he might not be prepared just yet to handle all of these different situations, whether it's end-of-game management or it's, going for it on fourth down. I don't know. Being a little, just a tad, just a hair aggressive. Like, I think all of those things have put Jerod Mayo in a bad spot. And I think a guy like Shane Steichen was far more prepared to handle that than Jerod Mayo. But again, that's the difference between a guy who was calling plays and being a legitimate coordinator on a football team than a guy who had been a linebackers coach and then quote unquote a defensive coordinator more or less for like a year. And like, he was in the league for 5 years post playing career. And so that, to me, is probably going to be the difference on Sunday. I think these defenses are relatively comparable. I think the Colts can probably get a little bit more pressure, but I also think Drake May is a slight edge over Anthony Richardson, even though they'll both probably give you some turnovers. And so it comes down to coaching a lot for me, and I unfortunately don't think that Mayo is going to have the edge over any coach at any point in time this season, especially now that Matt Eberflus has been fired. You already had that edge once. You're not getting it again. And you won that game. Lucky for you. But now Eberflus is gone, as well as Shane Waldron in Chicago. And so I don't think there's going to be another opportunity where Jerod Mayo is going to have a quote-unquote coaching edge over anybody. You look at the rest of the schedule for the Patriots. You get Shane Steichen this week. Okay, like maybe you have a chance. Probably don't, but maybe. We'll see. Then you get Jonathan Gannon in the Cardinals, who I think is one of the bigger surprises this NFL season, this Cardinals team. Like, people weren't really sure if they were going to be good. They were awful last year. Nobody expected their defense to be any good. But I think Kyler Murray's playing some of the best football he's ever played. I think he's comfortable in that offense with Drew Betsing calling the offensive plays. I think that's going to be a guy you're going to hear a lot about come the coaching hiring cycle in the offseason, is Drew Betsing. And then Jonathan Gannon, man, like, he looked so dumb. So dumb when Hard Knocks came out and he was doing the pew pew thing and talking about taking the bus to work and having the fire in you. And he looked so dumb and yet seems like a competent NFL head coach. Is he great? I don't think so, but he's competent and he's pretty good. And it's just funny the kind of total 180 a guy like that has made. And then, of course, you end the season with Sean McDermott, Jim Harbaugh, Sean McDermott. So, I mean, you know, again, Patriots not going to have a coaching advantage. It's really going to be hard to hit that over 4.5 win total. I was so confident in it. I was so excited about it. But again, that's what you get for not starting Drake May at the beginning of the season. And you get the Colts, who you might be, even if you beat the Colts and get to 4, I don't expect you, unless the Bills have nothing to play for in Week 18, I just don't expect you to beat the Cardinals, Bills, or Chargers. It just doesn't seem feasible to me, especially in Arizona. You get the Chargers to come here, but that team is so well coached. I mean, you saw them in that Baltimore game. That was an absolute battle. They almost chargered all over themselves in that Cincinnati game, and yet somehow, some way, thank you to Jim Harbaugh, was able to hold on. So that's going to be kind of the key matchup on Sunday, I think. Jerod Mayo versus Shane Steichen. What do you think? Do the Patriots even have a chance? The line's 2.5 in favor of the Indianapolis Colts coming here to Gillette. Do you give the Patriots a chance? Is there any way they cover? Do you expect Drake May to just throw another back-breaking end-of-game interception? What do you think about the matchup on Sunday? 617-779-7937. I already see the text lines coming in, 37937. Mega will be here shortly. For those asking, she is running a little late today. She will be here probably in the next 10 or 15 minutes or so. So until then, you have to listen to me continue to soliloquy about my guy, Drake May, and Anthony Richardson, and the coaching situation, all of it. We'll talk about it all right here on Boston Sports Original WEEI. I'm Chris Schein, but right now, Zach Coe is going to get you caught up with what's trending.
The Greg Hill Show, weekdays 6 to 10.
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Celtics kept their NBA Cup hopes alive last night with a 138-129 win over the Bulls in Chicago. Jason Tatum led the way with 35 points. Peyton Pritchard posted a career-high 29, including 19 in the fourth quarter. Celtics will need Orlando to beat the Knicks in order to have a chance to advance as the Eastern Conference wild card on point differential. Next up for the Seas, a regular season matchup in Cleveland with the Cavs tomorrow night. Tip-off at 6 p.m. Charlie Coyle got things started for the Bruins with a goal in the first 2 minutes of the game, but that's all the Bruins would get. They fell at home to the Penguins 2-1 the final. Next up for the Bees is the Centennial Game matchup with Montreal. That one goes down tomorrow at the Garden, puck drop set for 3 p.m. Final preparations are underway for the Patriots Week 13 matchup against the Colts. Team has already ruled out guard Cole Strange as he works his way back from knee surgery. Wide receiver DeMario Douglas, safeties Kyle Duggar and Jabril Peppers, and defensive end Dietrich Twyes are among those listed as questionable. Pats and Colts kick off from Gillette tomorrow afternoon at 1 p.m. Final week of the college football regular season underway. Among those notable games are Michigan going to Ohio State, Auburn going to Alabama, and Texas A&M hosting Texas. Also, the Boston College Eagles are hosting the Pitt Panthers. And don't forget, you can catch coverage of that game right here on WEEI, starting with pregame at 2:30, with kickoff set for 3 from Alumni Stadium. My name is Zach Coe, and that's what's trending on WEEI and WEEI.com. It's
better over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
Football fans, do you want to hear the whole unadulterated truth about where your team stands?
It's the most embarrassing film I have ever watched in my entire life.
Former NFL lineman Mark Schlereth gives his perspective on the top storylines and games on a weekly basis on the Stinkin' Truth Podcast.
You may get out of here with 2 sacks and a tackle for loss, but you're getting out with a bloody nose.
New episodes drop every Monday and Thursday.
It's going to be a street fight.
Make sure to subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
Back. Download the Odyssey app and listen on demand anytime.
Well, I always say nobody's safe. That's the way I operate. The owners are making so much money, they could do whatever they want. Now, I could say this, and it's a perfect example, right? There were some people talking about New England, and then I spoke to some more people at the end of the week, and they're like, no. Robert Kraft is not doing anything. He's keeping Gerard Mayo. He's keeping Gerard Mayo. Okay, great. Now, again, that I think that's his plan. He's keeping Gerard Mayo. And then you go and you play a game like that against Miami, and you wonder, does something like that cause the owner to rethink anything? One game, probably not. What if this team plays like that continuously down the stretch? What does Robert Kraft then do?
This is Boston Sports Original WEEI. I am Chris Schein. Mega will be joining us shortly here. That was Adam Schefter talking about the future of New England Patriots head coach Gerard Mayo. And I think there's a lot of questions right now around Mayo. I thought for certain, no matter how the season kind of went, I felt like before it had started, Mayo was kind of locked into like 3 years. Like, I just felt like in the way that Robert Kraft talked about him, right? And I knew about he was going to be my next head coach 5 years ago, saying that on Amazon Prime and the way in which he was, you know, hand-selected, and there wasn't even a head coaching search after Bill Belichick was sent packing. They didn't even think about hiring anybody else. They were like, yep, that's my guy, when there were coaches like Mike Vrabel available to be signed. And so I always thought that Gerard Mayo might have, or should have, like 3 years. A three-year kind of leash felt right. Somewhere in the third year, if he got fired middle season because it was going so poorly, that made sense. But the way this season has gone to this point doesn't give me a whole lot of confidence that he is actually going to make it through those 3 years. I haven't seen anything inspiring from Gerard Mayo. And 413 text, Shime, I asked those two mortadellas before you came on. Moral issues say give Mayo another year, but most football minds would say he doesn't really have what it takes. What do you think? And to be honest, I kind of tend to agree with a lot of the people out there. It's hard, though, because he's a rookie. He's never been in a position like this at any level. Most head coaches, at some point, have been a coordinator for a decent amount of time, have been a coach in the NFL for at least some period of time. And yet Gerard Mayo just hasn't. He just doesn't have experience. He went from being a player to being a linebackers coach, and then 5 years later is the head coach of the New England Patriots. Like, that's... there's no development period there. There's really not a whole lot of learning. And if Kraft really did make it any clear at all to the rest of the organization that Gerard Mayo would follow Bill Belichick, I doubt Belichick was really helping him. I doubt Belichick was tutoring him and making sure he was ready to be a head coach in the NFL if he knew that one day this guy was going to take my job. That doesn't seem right. So to me, it's this guy is learning on the job. I don't, and that's what makes it hard. I don't blame Gerard Mayo for his inexperience. I blame the ownership for hiring a guy who is inexperienced. Like, that seems, when you're hiring one of only 32 NFL head coaches in the world, you would think you'd look for a guy that, I don't know, is the most qualified. And I like Gerard Mayo. He's really nice. He seems like a fun guy.
he probably has the ear of the majority of the locker room. And I think the way they responded to the soft comments and the way he talks about players and players talk about him, that's accurate, right? Like, I think there's a good relationship there between him and his players, which is great, but I don't even need to think about it. It's clear and evident Jerod Mayo is struggling on the field, on the football field, when it comes to game planning, when it comes to decision-making, timeouts, challenges. Like, what are we? It is a struggle to watch him week in and week out, it feels like. I mean, just look at what happened in the Ravens-Chargers game this past Monday night. 2 minutes to go in the half. Ravens know we really need to get points here. They're down 10-7, fourth and one from their own 16. Their own 16-yard line, 2 minutes left in the half. They're like, yeah, we're going to go for this. They tried to get him jump off sides, didn't jump off sides. 2 minute warning comes. They come back out, run a play, get the first down. There's not many teams in football that do that, but they understood the situation. They knew they needed to score in order to really beat the Chargers. And they took that risk. That was a risk they were willing to take from their own 16. Because if you don't get that, if you aren't able to beat the guys in front of you at the line of scrimmage and you don't get that first down, the Chargers are undoubtedly scoring again, and it is now a 10-point game. That was the situation. And John Harbaugh was like, yeah, I trust Lamar Jackson. Go make a play. And instead, they threw everybody off, and Mark Andrews had like a QB sneak, and basically they tried to push it forward, and they got it. Thanks to their big tight end, right? So I look at Jerod Mayo last week against the Miami Dolphins. Had an opportunity, fourth and one from your own 39. Almost at midfield, your own 39, first drive of the game. Wouldn't it be a statement as a 3-8 football team to, I don't know, come out and go for it on fourth and one? Try and get the first down. Try and force the Dolphins to play from behind. Look, I don't think that changes the result of the football game, but at least it would provide some energy, because some kind of spark in your team. And as much as I think Jerod Mayo may have the ear of his players and maybe has a good relationship with them, I'm not convinced that he understands the feeling of those players when it comes to actual football decisions on the field. Like, if you were to go up to anybody on that offense, on that fourth and one from their own 39, and be like, hey, you guys want to go for this? Like, yes, they all would have said, absolutely, let's go for this. We can get it, and we'll move down the field. That's what a 3-8 football team should do. You're not, at this point, you're not playing for anything but pride. So what are these decisions where you're punting on fourth and one, fourth and two from midfield? What are we doing? Go for it. Have a little guts. Have a little gumption. Show your team that you want to be aggressive a little bit. Speaking of aggression, Mego, hi.
Are you talking about the driving that I just was pulling off on the Mass Pike? Because it was aggressive.
Was it?
Yeah, there's a lot of nanas out there today. Nanas love Small Business Saturday, and the nanas love going 10 miles per hour below the speed limit.
Absolutely. It's the perfect day for them to be out post-Black Friday. Not as many crowds at the stores, hopefully, for them.
Right. They're going out to buy some, like, hand-poured candles.
Yes.
That they're going to give you on Christmas.
Some hand-knitted scarves for their grandchildren.
Yes.
Just out there and about. How are you, Mego? It's been a while.
I'm great. Good Thanksgiving. Was on with Fitzy yesterday. Nice. How was London? More
awesome.
Importantly, I mean, you're the guy
city.
Who was traveling the globe this week.
Yeah, it was awesome. I had the best Indian food I've ever had.
Yes,
as my Thanksgiving meal.
Supposed to be incredible Indian cuisine around.
This restaurant, if you're ever in London, Daishum is like, it's to die for.
Do you go for like the tiki marsala, or do you get a little bit more exotic than that?
So I would just get like a nice Indian curry or the tikka masala, or even like chicken, like tandoori chicken.
Ooh.
I love that. But we were with a friend, and she's like, I come here all the time. And I was like, I trust you. Just pick whatever you want. Just get it out here. And
is
we will
this
eat.
A friend who lives in London?
Yeah, well, she lives in Nottingham, which is a couple hours north of London, but goes to London frequently. So she was very familiar with the area and goes to this restaurant in particular quite often. And so I was like, I trust you. And we had we had Black Doll, which was delightful. We had jackfruit biryani.
What is that?
So jackfruit, I still to this, it has the same texture as like pulled pork, but I'm pretty sure it is a legitimate fruit or vegetable of kinds.
I was picturing like dragon fruit.
Not quite.
Like kiwi.
Yeah, no, it is. I don't think there's like any jackfruit over here. Like it's not popular at all in the States, I don't
believe. So I've never been to the UK.
Okay.
My family is pretty Irish, actually. I have a very Italian last name, but my family's half Irish.
Nice.
And my husband studied abroad in Dublin when he was in college.
Nice.
And I always want to go to the UK and do Ireland and London and maybe even Scotland, although I'm not a golfer, so there's not that much that like
holds
Edinburgh my interest.
Yeah, but Edinburgh is cool. Like,
I've heard Edinburgh.
You'd like a day or two over
it's like
there.
Worth checking out. It's really cool.
Absolutely. Yeah, so I have now gone, London I've gone to now twice. My girlfriend did a whole semester abroad over there as well. She's been there like 5 or 6 times. It's just a city I love. It's so easily walkable. Like you can walk everywhere. You can also, if you don't want to walk, there's the tube, there's a bus. It is a revelation how good public transport can be coming from Boston and then going to London.
Yeah,
it's insane.
So I've always heard that London in particular, but the UK, they start doing the Christmas season like after Halloween.
Yes.
Right?
It's like a week or two into November.
Wrapped into the because they don't have Thanksgiving really.
Exactly.
So it's like
they don't have Thanksgiving.
Yeah. So it's at Christmas. All. Christmas just starts in November there.
Yeah, which is awesome. It was and so like you're walking around the city and it gets dark early, just like around here. So, you know, 4 or 5 o'clock, it starts getting dark and there's just lights everywhere. And some of the streets are narrow enough where they hang like signs and stuff that go like span the length of the street. And a lot of them are lit up and there's so many different. It's just there's Christmas trees everywhere.
Love it.
Of St. Pancras Station, they have like a Wicked themed tree right now.
Nope,
because Wicked's a big deal. Oh, you're out on Wicked.
I know. I talked to Courtney about this very briefly. I'm just not a Wicked head. Like, don't care about the Oz extended universe.
Yep.
I don't
get that. Totally
really
cool.
Care about, mostly like with any of these intellectual properties. Mm-hmm. And this is where I get lost on a lot of the like dork stuff, as Keith calls it, all the superhero stuff is like, okay, I like the story about Batman. I don't need to go into like the deep origins of all the characters and like how somebody became somebody. I'm like, I don't care. That's a side character. Like, there's a reason why they're not the main character. I don't really care. Like, if you told me, I wouldn't be surprised if they're like, this is the Tin Man's origin story, and it's actually a metaphor for, like, you know, the Rust Belt of America. And I'm going to be like, come on!
I don't need this!
Nobody needs this. So, that's how I feel about Wicked, where it's like, it sounds just as ridiculous to me, and I'm not a musicals person.
See, I love a good musical.
The only musicals I like are Sound of Music.
Great.
Is
great
a banger.
Choice.
Like, love Sound of Music.
Yep.
And Grease.
Okay.
Those are really the only two that I get down with.
That's fair. You were never a Pitch Perfect fan?
I don't even consider that a musical. That's just like, that's something different.
Movie.
It's
great.
I watched the first one, but I'm never felt like I needed to watch it again. Anna Kendrick. I'm like, okay, cool.
Yeah, I'm a sucker for a good musical. I'll go watch any musical. I have no problem.
That surprises me so much.
Yeah, I love good music and like fun, good music that also involves some. I'm a big Shakespeare guy also. So like it kind of like I think originates from that.
I don't like
so.
The way that people in musicals sing. Because they use this Broadway voice that's like,
yeah, definitely.
Oh, and I'm like,
yeah, there's a lot of.
I don't like it. So, you know what I don't like?
Okay.
I get really uncomfortable when people are trying too hard. Like, I'm like, no, you're
yeah, they're very operatic about it.
Or they're like very performative. Mm-hmm. It's why I have a really hard time, especially in my early 20s when I had friends who would do improv comedy.
Yes.
And they'd be like, come to my improv show. And I'd be like,
no.
I won't be able to look at you afterwards because I'm going to see how hard you're trying and it's going to bum me out. It's going to bum me out.
Especially if something's not funny.
That's what I'm
like,
yeah,
I don't know if I could do this for you.
You know how it is. Like, when you start out at anything, you're so bad.
Oh, yeah, always.
And, like, the first stuff that I ever did on camera, I mean, I'm still not great on camera. And, like, when I first started out, when you're, like, in your early 20s, you're like, oh, how do I operate in the world? Like, looking and talking like this.
Yeah, for me, when it comes to musicals and stuff, I think I draw a clear line of like demarcation. I don't like operas. but I do like musicals. Okay. Like operas to me are too like formal and stuck up, and like at least like a musical, there's it's a lot looser.
You can't even understand what they're singing.
Exactly, half the time it's Figaro, Figaro, Figaro. Like I don't know Italian. I don't know a good aria if you dropped one on top of me. I have no idea.
I know the one from Game of Thrones. Aria.
Oh yes, yes. I know Aria from Game of Thrones.
And again, they do Game of Thrones, and then they do the House of Dragon.
Yeah, I'm in on House of Dragon.
Don't care. Don't like it's. I know. I just want to hang out with the Game of Thrones people. That's I don't fair. Need the House of Dragon, like all the blonde haired people who are whipping their dragons and stuff. I'm like,
yeah.
I don't need this.
They're all having sex with their brothers and stuff.
Yeah.
And sisters, yeah, it's like all in the
again,
family.
I
the Targaryens, it's very incestuous.
I watched like the first half of the first season of that, and I was just like, they're not even doing jokes. There's not even jokes. Like, where's Tyrion Lannister? There's not even jokes
in this
show.
There's not even a guy who just like drinks and reads.
There's nothing from House of Dragon that you can put on a t-shirt. Nobody's going to, it's going to be like, I've... Here it is, another
is
sister
nothing?
That I've slept with. Like, there's
You could do like the sigils on a t-shirt.
What's the sigils?
Well, like the house... Well, yeah, but, like the house sigil, so like the dragon for the Targaryens, the giant seahorse for his name's escaping me. But the Lord of the Seas there, Starks have the direwolf, like that type.
Yeah,
of thing.
I mean that's my family because we have a direwolf in our house.
Yes,
so,
you do.
Yeah.
That's true.
That's what we're all about. That was my original interest in Game of Thrones. I was like, I like these big wolves.
You like these big wolves? I'm in.
I'm in on this show. And then, like, they start killing them. And I was like, what the hell? I was like, all right, well, I'm already in on this.
Yeah. I don't think any of them are alive at the end of the books.
Actually,
technically, there's some caveats.
I promise we're going to get back to football. But,
this is
actually very interesting to me.
Of course.
So, in London, London as big of a dog city as, like, when I went to Paris, like, when you go to France, and I've never been to the UK, but when you go to France, you'll walk into a restaurant, and people will have their dog, like, sitting at the table.
So,
they're, like, smoking inside, drinking at 1 PM with their dog
Everybody's
sitting at the table.
Everybody's ripping
darts. And I'm like, I think this is where I belong.
Yeah.
Like, I think this should be where I live.
So, in London, I didn't see as many dogs like in restaurants or like coffee shops or anything, but I did see a lot of people walking dogs. There are definitely a large amount of people with dogs in London, but I don't think it's as pet friendly probably as like France or anything like that. I did see a couple people brought their dogs like on the tube. Like they're just like holding them as they're going down the escalator.
That's adorable.
Yeah, it's quite cute. And most of the dogs, that's what I did notice, most of the dogs in London, small dogs.
Mm.
Easily carrying, that you can carry them on the tube, you can carry them into a store, whatever.
Well, that's like New York probably.
You know,
like it's very metropolitan.
That's the cool thing too about London is it's like, we have cities here in the U.S., mm-hmm. but London is a city. Like it is
how
huge.
How
It's what was that?
Okay, so London, I had to ask, like, is it comparable, the financial district? Is it all like skyscrapers and everything, or does it feel more like it's like a collection of villages?
No. It doesn't feel like it is a city. It is
okay.
Well, like the thing is it's like it's such a big, it is massive. To like completely navigate London is an undertaking. It is huge. It is bigger than New York City. It's bigger than any city the United States has to offer.
Everything's bigger than Boston.
Yeah, so. Exactly. Like you would need like 10 Bostons to fit inside of London. It's
Although,
huge.
I bring people to Boston like when my friends come to visit and we'll go from like a side of like Kendall Square over to Fenway or something. And they're like, wow, it's Boston's so small. It's so easy to get across. And I'm like, there are entire neighborhoods on the side of Boston, like near where I live, where you have no, this is like that's where the actual city is. Like half the city is residential and over here. This is just the whole downtown.
And it's impossible to get through Boston because of all the traffic. It's miserable.
I got over here.
Yeah, it is. But London is just, it's so huge. It does feel like at times there are like villages of London. Like there's clear areas where like, oh, this is different than over there. But it is just this one massive, there's so much fun stuff to do. Like we went to Covent Garden, which is this area of London where it's just like there's a ton of like little shops and like it's a market. They have a giant Christmas tree up because it's Christmas
time. Love a Christmas market.
Yep. We went to 4 or 5 different Christmas markets.
Do you know how I would spend like a whole paycheck there on, and then I'd come home with like monogram napkins and my husband's like, what the hell is this?
So we went to
we need
went
to save money.
We went to one Christmas market in Leicester Square on Thursday night. And I'm like, we need to just...
Is it spelled Leicester, like Leicester in New England?
L-E-I-C-E-S-T-E-R. Yay! Yeah, yeah.
I love that.
Yeah, yeah. Leicester Square. And so we went in and we just walked around and we just ate different foods. Like, they have different vendors all over the place. They sell different stuff. Like, my girlfriend bought like two Christmas ornaments that were just like there. Just 14 pounds. Here you go. Take it. Take my money. We had, you know, Nutella on a hot Belgian waffle.
What?
We had, oh yeah, we had German, like legit German bratwurst.
So you took the week off from the diet.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like from the maintenance
But at
phase.
The same time, we walked 25 miles in 4 days.
Okay.
Because we're not big. We like to just see everything. So yeah. We don't really take the tube very often unless we have to. And we just walk everywhere. And so I felt like, you know, the amount of steps I was taking kind of, you know, took down some of the calories. So it wasn't a big deal.
All right. Can we get back to the steps of the Patriots? Because love hearing about your vacation. Hearing about London. Yes. Love hearing about your interest in musicals. But that's me.
Yeah. I appreciate that about you, Mego. 617-779-7937 if you want to weigh in today. Mego and I will get to the Patriots. We'll also get in some Celtics because I know Mego probably wants to talk about her guy, P. Pritch, after yesterday's season high performance of 29 points. We'll get to all of that coming up here on Boston Sports Original WEEI at Chime and Mego.
This is WEEI.
Save us as a favorite on the Odyssey app. And take Boston Sports Original everywhere you go.
Welcome in. This is Boston Sports Original WEEI. Shime and Mego with you, taking you up to 2:30 for BC football pregame show. Big game for BC today, I think. Who did BC got today?
They got Pitt today.
Ooh, Pitt. Okay. Well, hopefully Bill O'Brien can make it two in a row. Got a big win last week. Trying to make it two in a row here. So good luck to BC. We'll get you into the BC pregame show around 2:30. But until then, Shime and Meg will be talking Patriots and Celtics and everything in between. Maybe we'll mix in a lot of Juan Soto. You just said, Mego told me in the break, you guys did a lot of Juan Soto yesterday. So
I think we did like 90 minutes of Juan Soto. We might have done almost 2 hours Juan Soto. There was so much Juan Soto talk yesterday because it was immediately after Thanksgiving and all the rumors that were flying around on Twitter and social media. I don't know, rumors, if you want to call them reports. I mean, one of the people, what is it, Beyond Average Mick is the guy on Twitter. I think that's his name. He was right about stuff before, and other people have put stuff out before. So
the only guy in the Scoops game I trust around here, Scoops Keith.
Well, of course.
He's like, the only one with a proven track record.
If Scoops Keith came out with a report on Juan Soto, I'd be like, well, it's
done. Yeah, it's a fact. I would 100%.
I would
like,
take that as fact. But then you got Jeff Passan coming out, and he's like pissed off because it's Thanksgiving. He's like, why are you trying to make
me go back to your family?
Check my sources on Thanksgiving to make sure this isn't happening.
And that's why I will wait for Jeff Passan. When it comes to the NFL, I will wait for Rap Sheet or Schefter. When it comes to hockey, I'll wait for Scoops Keith.
I think NFL is a little bit more of an open game, but I feel like NFL,
that's fair. Like Jordan Schultz has some stuff.
We've
that's
kind of accepted that sometimes people are wrong in the NFL, but it doesn't mean that they're totally untrustworthy, which is a very interesting space.
Okay,
because there's so many insiders in the NFL that people will be wrong on something, but then they'll be right on three other things. So you're like, well, the batting average is still high enough to mix sports there.
Ooh, so the NFL reporting game is more like the MLB Hall of Fame, where it's like, you hit 330, you're in the Hall of Fame.
Exactly.
Whereas, like, in the NBA, NHL, and MLB, it's you have to be hitting, like, 890.
Wrong. NBA, if you're wrong, because I think so much
of it rides. Yeah, what do we do post-Woj? Is it Shams World now?
It's all Shams
right now.
It's all Shams for sure. Somebody else will elevate, but it's also kind of strange because, like, with that insider status, especially with NBA Twitter was such a big thing. It became an operation in itself, where then ESPN had to hire Woj because he was beating their ass on everything.
Yeah.
And so eventually they had to bring him on. And now it's like, well, do people really care if you get it 30 seconds before somebody else now? Like, you're just going to get the information. It feels like different stakes.
That's fair. Yeah, I totally get that. But I am waiting on the Passan tweet. That's when I will believe.
Do you think they're actually going to push for it? No. I know that there's these reports about it's like a dozen plus years. It's like $48 million
a year or whatever. Yeah, no.
And he's asking Juan Soto. I was reading from a New York reporter yesterday that he wants 15 years. Are the Red Sox actually? I don't care if they're a runner up or if they're in the top three. Either you get them or you don't. And if you don't get them, you don't get credit for being in the final conversation.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure when the original meetings were happening, didn't the Mets report come out that it was like $60 million a year, like right away?
Yeah.
I think, look, if you're not close to $60 million, I don't think there's any way.
Steve Cohen said, or supposedly told Soto that he's willing to put $50 million on top of any deal that he gets.
Yeah, exactly. And so it's like, I will not, unless I get it from a legitimate source, whether, like, give me a Jeff Passan tweet that says Juan Soto and the Sox close to a deal, then I'm in. Then I will buy it. Outside of that, I don't believe a darn thing. You can send as many smoke grenades my way as you want, but there is not enough smoke to tell me that Juan Soto is coming to the Red Sox, especially after what I've seen the last few years. They don't spend money. Why are they now just going to go and get Juan Soto?
Well, so the hope would be, if you want to believe in what ownership is selling people on and what they're going to do, is that they have waited so long for the farm system to mature, and so now that these kids can come up and play in the big leagues, then you're going to actually spend money on free agents the way that they did with the previous core that they've referenced a lot with Betts and Bogarts and Devers. But it just feels kind of like if they did that, they would be looking more at pitching the way that they did with that core. But I'm
at you already some got point, beat out like, for Blake Snell. Like, he's already off the market. Right. You're not getting him.
Right. But in that way, I wonder if then it makes it more of a motivation that now they gotta get this one.
See,
like, they gotta hook this one because they missed out on
Doesn't that just feel too overreactionary to you? Right? Because
sometimes I wonder if they're that way. You know?
John Henry doesn't seem inspired enough.
Maybe I want
to be that overreactionary. Right? Like, you look at, if you had just paid Bogarts and Betts, you'd be paying less money than what you're going to be paying for just Juan Soto, and you would have been competitive the last 4 years.
I do think those are two different cases where I know Betts has come out and said that he wanted to be here, but I don't know that he would love it here the way that he does in LA.
If they had given him a proper contract offer, because I think even like Lou had said at the time that the Sox were coming in way under everybody else.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if they had given him a proper contract offer, I'm pretty sure he would have stayed.
They were planning to lose him.
Yeah,
so
which is insane.
Was the plan for him.
And you got nothing for him. Like, you ended up with nothing in that Mookie Betts trade. You have Connor Wong. That's it. Good for you.
The worst defensive catcher in baseball doesn't do it for you.
I thought Jeter Downs was a real success story. Yeah. So.
I was big on Alex Verdugo. He was a great guy.
He tried to be a clubhouse leader, which is another thing that I do think with somebody like Juan Soto, he's such a dude, and he's only 26.
Yeah, he is a dude.
So on top of the baseball stuff, I do think that he would supply something that the clubhouse has lacked over the last several years, basically since Bogarts was gone, which is a face of the franchise. Somebody who actually wants to take on all the shrapnel and talk on behalf of the team. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of great guys that have been in the clubhouse, but Rafael Devers very clearly doesn't want to be that guy.
No,
he doesn't want to be the public face of the Red Sox. He just wants to play baseball and hang out with his guys.
Yep.
Like, that's who he is. And that's fine, but you need somebody in that clubhouse who's going to take on the Ortiz role or anybody else that you want to compare him to. And I don't think that they've had that guy since Bogart's walk.
No, and it was evident this season especially that they did not have guys like that in the year, but I don't know that they have the right leadership pieces and definitely the right pitching pieces in order to be successful going forward. 617-779-7937. You can get in on that Juan Soto conversation if you'd like. We're also, as I mentioned, going to hit on the Patriots and Celtics coming up here at Scheinman Mego on Boston Sports Original WEEI.